Ever get that feeling, like we're stuck on this treadmill, like always chasing the next new phone, the latest app, the thing you have to have, but it's not actually making us any happier? Like maybe we're racing towards a future that's not as, I don't know, as bright and shiny as we're told it's going to be. And that's kind of the heart of what we're digging into today. We've got this article, really makes you think, by Charles Hugh Smith. And get this, it's called We're Told This Is Progress, But It's Actually Anti-Progress. Yeah, just that title, right? Makes you want to settle in and really unpack this whole thing.
It does. It does. And Smith, he kicks things off with this really interesting comparison. He talks about a raw carrot, just a simple carrot, versus, those processed veggie snacks they market to kids.
Oh, I see where he's going with this. It's like we all know deep down those brightly colored puffs, they're basically candy disguised as something healthy.
They might sound healthy, but they're designed to be addictive.
Totally. And it's like they're engineered to make us crave them, even if they're not actually good for us.
That's exactly it. And Smith uses this example, as simple as it seems, to illustrate a much bigger point.
Which is.
How our definition of progress, what we're told is progress, often puts profit ahead of, well, our actual well-being.
Okay, I'm starting to see the anti-progress angle here. We think we're making a healthy choice, but are we? Or are we just falling for clever marketing?
Right, and maybe a little bit of our own cravings, too.
Oh, for sure. But this isn't just about food, is it?
No, not at all. Smith argues this pattern, this prioritizing profit over well-being, and often doing it through manipulation, it's happening across so many industries.
Like what? Give me some examples. How else does this anti-progress thing play out?
Well, think about smartphones, right? The constant cycle of new models. Every year there's something new. Is it really progress if we're always being pushed to upgrade, even when our old phone works perfectly fine?
That's a good point.
That's where this idea of planned obsolescence comes in. Products being designed to become obsolete quickly, so we have to buy more.
That's a little, well, unsettling, isn't it? That things are made to be replaced, not to last.
It is. And it's not some conspiracy theory either. Companies have whole departments dedicated to figuring out how to make their products as addictive as possible.
Addictive, you mean like they're literally addictive.
Absolutely. They tap into those same reward systems in our brains that make things like gambling or even social media so compelling.
You mean that little dopamine hit when we see a notification pop up on our phone?
Exactly. It's calculated. Smith calls it anti-progress things, disguised as progress, but they have these negative consequences, often by design. And we might think we're in control of our choices, but.
But there are these forces at play that are making it harder to make those healthy choices.
And one of the key mechanisms Smith points to is something called regulatory capture.
Regulatory capture, what's that all about?
Sucked.
Regulatory capture, what's that all about?
Yeah, it's kind of a wonky term, but it basically means that the industries being regulated, like big food or big tech, they actually end up having a lot of influence over those agencies,
Oh, interesting.
the very ones that are supposed to be regulating them.
I see.
So regulations that might actually protect us, the consumers, or promote, genuine well-being often get watered down, or sometimes they're just completely ineffective.
So it's like, what is it they say, the fox guarding the hen house. That makes me think about, all those health claims we see on food packaging. Are those even regulated?
They are. There are regulations, but they're often full of loopholes and they don't always keep up with the latest science. Or, frankly, the increasingly sophisticated tactics that marketers are using these days.
It's true. It can be so hard to know what to believe anymore. It's like everywhere we turn, there's another message telling us to buy something, consume something, and it often feels like it's at the expense of our own well-being.
And that's a key takeaway from Smith's argument, I think. He's not saying all progress is bad, but he really wants us to be more critical of what we're being sold as progress, you know?
Okay, I'm with him so far.
Yeah.
But if this constant pursuit of more isn't progress, then what is? How do we even start to redefine progress in a way that actually benefits, humanity?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And Smith doesn't pretend to have all the answers, but he does offer some interesting thought-provoking suggestions. Like, he argues that we should be measuring true progress not just by economic growth or even technological advancement, but by its impact on human flourishing.
Human flourishing. That's a big one. What does that even look like?
Well, it's about creating a world where people have the opportunity to live meaningful lives, fulfilling lives. It's about having strong social connections, you know, a sense of purpose and a deep connection to nature.
It almost sounds like, is he advocating for a simpler way of life? Is he saying we should all ditch our smartphones and move to a commune?
Not necessarily. No, Smith's not saying we should, you know, romanticize the past or anything like that. Yeah. He gets that there are benefits to technology, to innovation, but he's challenging us to be more intentional about how we use these tools.
So it's not about rejecting progress, but more about being mindful of the potential downsides and really redefining what progress means.
Exactly. It's about asking the tough questions. Like, is this new technology actually improving my life? Or is it just creating new problems? Or am I using my resources in a way that's sustainable for the planet? You know, am I prioritizing human connection, well-being, those sorts of things?
These are really big questions, and I don't imagine there are any easy answers. But it feels like we're at a crossroads. We can keep going down this road of just, you know, relentless consumption, always wanting more stuff, more technology, or we can choose a different path, one that puts well-being first. Sustainability, genuine human connection.
And that choice, that's up to us, Smith says. He believes that we have the power to shape a different future, one that's more aligned with our values and what we truly aspire to.
It's a powerful message, and it definitely resonates with me. But I'm curious to hear more about what this alternative path might actually look like. Mm-hmm. What are some concrete examples of a society that, you know, that prioritizes human flourishing over this endless growth?
That's a great question. And there are actually a lot of inspiring examples out there, individuals, communities, even entire countries that are embracing a different definition of progress.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. Tell me more about these examples.
Well, for starters, there's this growing movement, you've probably heard of it, around slow living.
I have heard of it.
It's all about, you know, simplifying your life,
okay,
reducing how much you consume, and really focusing on what truly matters.
Yeah, it sounds lovely.
Right.
In theory.
Yeah, it's about being present in the moment, connecting with the people you care about, finding joy in the everyday things instead of constantly striving for more, more, more.
I love that. It sounds lovely in theory, but can it really work?
Yeah.
In our world? You know, everything's so fast-paced, always on, always connected.
It's definitely a challenge, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, part of what makes it so radical and so appealing.
I see what you're saying.
It's about pushing back against those expectations, you know, the cultural norms, creating space for something different.
So it's not just about, okay, drinking herbal tea and baking sourdough bread.
Well, hey, those things can be part of it if you want them to be.
True.
But it's really about a mindset shift, I think.
Okay.
It's about questioning that assumption that we always have to be faster, busier, more productive.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that's one example. What else?
There's some really exciting stuff happening around building more sustainable communities.
Okay.
More equitable communities.
Yeah.
Like community gardens, co-housing projects. Those local exchange trading systems, LETS, they call them, where people are trading goods and services without even using money.
Wow. I've never even heard of that. How does that work?
It's really cool. It's basically a way for people to, you know, share their skills, share their resources directly with each other.
Okay.
So, like, let's say you're a great gardener, right? You've got all these extra tomatoes.
Yeah.
You could trade those tomatoes to your neighbor who's a hairdresser, get a haircut.
Oh, I love that.
It's about that. It's about fostering that spirit of cooperation, reciprocity within a community.
That's such a cool idea. It's like all these initiatives, they're all about shifting our focus, it seems, from like individual gain to like a more collective well-being.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected. Our choices, even our small choices, they have an impact on the wider community, the planet.
Right. It's like we've kind of forgotten that we're social creatures. You know, we thrive on connection. We thrive on collaboration.
Yeah.
It's like we've all become so isolated in our own little bubbles.
And that isolation, you know, that has real consequences.
Yeah. In what way?
There's been studies, you know, they've shown that social isolation, that feeling of loneliness, it can be as bad for your health as smoking.
Wow.
Or as obesity.
Really?
Yeah, it's that detrimental.
That's a pretty stark comparison. It makes you wonder, has all this progress actually made us less healthy, less happy in a lot of ways?
It's a real paradox, isn't it? You know, we have more stuff than ever, more technology, but rates of depression, anxiety, all these chronic illnesses are all on the rise.
So what's the takeaway? What can we do, like, as individuals to kind of, I don't know, shift course a little bit? Because I think a lot of people listening might be feeling a little overwhelmed right now.
Yeah, I get that.
It's like, okay, all this is really interesting, but where do I even begin?
It's easy to feel powerless, you know, when you're dealing with these huge systemic issues. But I think the important thing to remember is that small changes can make a difference.
Okay, like what? Like, give us something concrete here.
Well, we talked about being more mindful about what we buy.
Right.
Questioning those marketing messages, supporting businesses that really reflect our values.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's really about cultivating awareness in our everyday lives.
Awareness of how?
Of how our choices, even the little ones, you know, the ones that seem insignificant, how those choices are either contributing to or maybe, you know, taking away from our own well-being and the well-being of others.
Right.
It's about asking ourselves those questions like, does this new thing I want, does it actually bring me joy? Or am I just caught up in the hype? You know, is there a way I can connect more with my neighbors? Can I support a local business today instead of a big corporation?
Those are great questions to ask. It's about being more intentional, less reactive.
Exactly.
This has been such a thought-provoking conversation. I feel like I have a lot to, like, chew on here.
Me too.
And hopefully our listeners do as well.
I hope so.
And, you know, just a reminder to everyone listening, this is just scratching the surface here. There's so much more to explore with these ideas.
Absolutely.
If you want to go deeper on, you know, this idea of anti-progress, redefining progress, what that really means, we highly recommend checking out the full article by Charles Hugh Smith.
It's a good one.
We'll link to it in the show notes, of course.
And be sure to subscribe to The Deep Dive for more deep dives into all the big questions shaping our world.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time.